Time now for your letters. Last week, Daniel Pinkwater introduced us to the story of Little Babaji, a new version of the children's story Little Black Sambo, which Daniel believes frees the story of racism by recasting the protagonist as a young Indian boy who encounters a tiger. Uma Krishnaswamy of Aztec, New Mexico says, "I fail to understand why Sambo, Mumbo, and Jumbo were seen as stereotyping, but Babaji, Mamaji, and Papaji are not. It was, in my opinion, a tale of its time when stories were often written about little brown children to be read and shared with little white ones. I believe it may well be time to let some stories die a natural death and not keep trying to turn tigers into ghee." Also from that week's show, response to reporter Alex Van Oss's story of a distant land near the Black Sea. "Dear Weekend Edition, I enjoyed your story, Yearning in Abkhazia, on Saturday, July 8th. It filled me with a sense of yearning as I thought of my visit 12 years ago as a high school exchange student. I believe it remains the most beautiful place I have ever seen. I remember steep mountains covered with tropical plants from all over the world sinking into the blue Black Sea. Beyond the stunning landscape, I remember the generous and energetic spirit of the people that I met there. Thank you for your coverage of this extraordinary place that now, more than ever, deserves international attention." Signed, Monica Berth of Places Unknown. Our timely coverage of Serena Williams' triumph at Wimbledon brought a complaint from Carol Studemund of Portland, Oregon. "Thanks for ruining the women's finals for me," she says. "We West Coasters get Wimbledon tape delayed by NBC. Before I even got out of bed, I knew the result of the Williams versus Williams match. No point in watching, thanks to Weekend Edition. Think about it." This is an old debate, Ms. Studemund, with little prospect of being resolved to everyone's satisfaction. News organizations have to report the news as it happens. Sports and entertainment divisions can save their shows for rebroadcast. We saw it. Still was a great match, wasn't it? Finally, some comments on how we marked the passing of a couple of icons. "Dear WESAT," writes Jason G. Toll of Orlando, Florida, "as a 33-year-old dedicated NPR listener, I truly appreciated the recent segment paying tribute to the late John Entwistle. The segment was fitting and respectful, just as expected. However, I felt that the description of his talent didn't go far enough to paint a clear picture of his unique individual playing style. You could safely say there is no other bass player alive today who could play with such driving power and passion. Just the same, thank you for paying respect." And from Steve Siegel from Pasadena, "You should know better. Don't you know that many of the WESAT devout listen while driving their early morning weekend errands? The tribute piece that you wrote and delivered on Ann Landers was simply beautiful. So here's this 6'3", 37-year-old guy trying to change lanes on the 10 eastbound outside of Los Angeles with more than one tear in his eye and a smile on his face. What's interesting is that I haven't read an Ann Landers column in probably 10 years, and yet your tribute to her reminded me of why I used to read the column in the first place. She's an American treasure. We welcome your letters here at WESAT at NPR.org, and please tell us where you're from and how to pronounce your name."